I'll promise to eat my fruits and veggies today, all right? So, all right, good morning. Once again, I want to just start off this morning. I'm not going to make you stand up. I might make you feel a little uncomfortable. It's intentional, but we'll see how this goes. I would like each of you, don't do it just yet, but I'd like each of you to turn to somebody near you. You're allowed to use your inside voice. You may be able to use a modified outside voice if there's too much going on around you and you can't hear the person you're talking to or they can't hear you. But I'd like you to ask this question, all right? And I'm going to give you some possible answers, right? Here's a question. How are you feeling today? Pretty normal question. I've already been asked it multiple times today. So when you're asked this question, I'm asking that you answer it accurately. So maybe your response might be, I'm feeling great. A little zest in your life. You might say, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, you dial it down a notch. You might say, you know, I have a few aching parts this morning. Or you might say, I wish I never got out of bed. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and allow you a couple moments to just go ahead. The first service, man, they just went with this. I had to wait for them to quiet down, all right? So go ahead and ask this question to someone around you, or maybe multiple people. How are you feeling today? All right, some of you have a story to tell, all right? So thank you for participating in that little exercise. Now I'll ask you to give your attention up here. No. So why do we do that? Well, that'll become clear as we go through this morning. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12 if you're not already there. We just read the text a few minutes ago. We've been reading multiple texts over the last few weeks that talk about the church, describe the church with the metaphor of a body. And it's something we'll be focusing on today as we go into our text. But while you're turning there, let me just remind you, last week we considered that the Holy Spirit enables the unity and diversity that exists within the Trinity. We know that to be true. We know that there's unity and diversity within the Trinity. But what we specifically considered last week is that God has allowed the church to reflect that unity and diversity. It's an amazing truth. The unity we see in the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we can go throughout Scripture and see where that unity, how that unity is explained and how it's manifested, how it's taught. But we really focused on the truth that we, as we are able to reflect the Trinity's unity and diversity, that when individual Christians exercise their spiritual gifts, we're in the context of spiritual gifts. As we're in the context of spiritual gifts of chapter 12, 13, and 14. So please don't lose sight of the context that we're in. But we see the reflection of the Trinity's unity and diversity when individual Christians, that's you, that's me, exercise the spiritual gift that we have been given, or the spiritual gifts, when we exercise those, that gift or gifts for the benefit of the whole church, for the benefit of the body, for the benefit of other believers. And so that's when we do that as a church, we are reflecting what we see in the Trinity. And I just wanted to pause for a second and say this is an amazing truth that we can cognitively maybe process, but let me just state it a little bit differently. We, as the church, when Paul is talking to the Corinthians, and I'll bring your attention right to verse 27 just for a minute. He says, now, you are the body of Christ. I'm starting there. We're going to go back to verse 12, but I'm starting there because Paul makes it emphatic, the idea that he is addressing the church in Corinth. He is addressing a local body of believers. They are the recipients of this letter. He is spending time, energy, emotions, probably blood, sweat, and tears as he ministers, as he has ministered and will continue to minister to them, to say, you, Corinthians, are the body of Christ and members individually. Paul has a message not only for the corporate gathering, but for the individual members of the church. And that's when we think about this idea that we're able to reflect the unity and diversity that we find in the Trinity. It's amazing. So when we, the church, exercise our individual gifts, which have been given to us by the Holy Spirit, for the sake of benefiting everyone else in the body, we are reflecting in a very limited way, but a very beautiful way, the unity and diversity of the Trinity. I mean, just think about it for a minute. Our expression, the way we relate to one another, the way we serve one another, is somehow teaching us, somehow making what is incomprehensible, totally, in a sense of a totality, this Trinity, we're able to understand a part of it. So when we consider this, I wanted to just consider a couple questions. And one, if the way we approach this idea of spiritual gifts, the teaching on spiritual gifts, we could ask ourselves if we are experiencing our spiritual gift or gifts. Ask yourself that question. Am I exercising the gift or gifts that God has given me? And if the answer is yes, then praise God. You can ask yourself, am I allowing others to exercise their gifts? You know, you think, how can I stop someone else for exercising their gifts? Well, you know what? If someone has the gift of hospitality and you say no, you know, you're not allowing them necessarily. If they have the gift of giving and somehow you're not willing to receive, you know, you can be a cause for them to not necessarily be able to exercise their gift. Obviously, the thought is real and it's genuine, and that's a good thing. But if you are allowing others within the body of Christ to exercise their gifts, then once again, I'll say praise God. But if we are not exercising our gifts, or if we are somehow making it difficult for others to exercise their gifts, then we are not being the reflection that we are called to be. There's a problem if that is taking place. And I believe this is what Paul begins to address as we look at verses 12 through 27 of chapter 12. And so where we concluded last week was verse 11, which says, But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. We are understanding the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. It is essential for our understanding about spiritual gifts to understand that he is the giver, and he is the giver of gifts to all those who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, you do not possess a gifting of the Holy Spirit. This is one of those aspects of preaching and teaching where it's kind of like this is Christianity 101 level. So if you've not come to a personal faith in Jesus Christ, and what do I mean by that? Coming to a belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came to this earth to live that sinless life that only he could live, to die on that cross as our substitute, as your substitute. And if you're not a believer, this is the truth you have to comprehend, that your sin is an offense to God. It will be. The wages of sin is death. There is a consequence to sin. And Jesus Christ came to pay that debt on your behalf. So if you will come to faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sin, and you repent from your sin and say, and you come to faith in what Jesus Christ has done, then you will have forgiveness of sins, right? All you have to do is ask. Right? Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins because of what you've accomplished. I recognize you as God. I recognize you as being the substitute that died on that cross for my sins. When a person comes to that, not just cognitively, but faithfully, coming with the idea of faith, understanding, it is that person who is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. It is only that person who is indwelled with the Holy Spirit. So when Paul begins what he's going to discuss today, we see, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is the giver of spiritual gifts to all those who come to faith, but also for the church to best reflect the unity and diversity within the Trinity, Each person, this is where I'm going to get into your business, right? Each person must exercise their spiritual gift or gifts in harmony with the whole. I'm going to use this word harmony. It's very dangerous for me because I am not musically oriented, all right? I will say that I enjoy music, but I do not know how to explain music. I will go to Pastor Aaron for those things. I'll go to Pastor Dan for those things. I'll go to just about anybody else but me to talk about music. But I do understand harmony. Harmony is that idea of a bunch of notes coming together, and it makes sense to us. It's pleasing to the ear. It is music. It is melody. It is those type things. And when we hear certain notes that are familiar to us, it does something within inside of us, right? I had not heard that song before, played with those instruments anyway. Maybe I have. It was sounded somewhat familiar. But there's certain songs, when you hear, you know, I can name that tune in one note, right? You just know that there's certain tunes that are out there. Well, when we think about this idea of harmony, we are in the I'm mixing metaphors, right? We're going to be talking about the body of Christ, but we're also going to be talking about from this idea that in our body, we are supposed to be in harmony with one another, not in disharmony. Well, Pastor, isn't that the same as unity? Not exactly. It's part of unity, and I read in my reading, studying for this, that there are many people believe that Paul's primary focus of 1 Corinthians is to address their disunity. I don't know if it's his primary, but it's certainly of importance to him. There are many aspects of their church relationships and their church expressions of worship that were disunified. But here what I'm saying is that we are supposed to, as we think about each person exercising their individual spiritual gift or gifts, they need to do it within harmony of the whole. Because if these folks are exercising these gifts, and they are, and you are, right? If we're all exercising our individual gift or giftings, it should be beautiful. It should be something that brings joy to our hearts and minds. So in other words, I think God desires the church, that's us, to live in harmonious health. We're in this series, Healthy Church, right? We desire to be a healthy church. Well, part of that health is being in harmonious, not only relationship, but also exercising our gifts in a harmonious way. So the reality is, it's only possible for us to be harmonious in the exercise of our gifts because of the way God has created the church. He has created it as a whole of which we are parts. But as we we'll see in the text here, and starting in verse 12, these parts exist to comprehend the whole. So verse 12, we've already read it, but I'll read through it again and make some comments here. And what Paul does is he uses our physical bodies as a way of explaining spiritual truth. All right? So our physical bodies have many parts. I think we all get that. We refer to the parts together as the body. So I have hands, I have feet, so do you. You have heads, you have legs, you have arms, all these things. And we don't say, well, hey, look, There's that group of body parts walking around. No, we say, look, there's a body over there. Well, especially if it's dead, right? And we'll talk about, hey, there's a body. We would never say to a person, there's a body, right? There's a body. I know you're laughing, so I appreciate your laughing, right? So Dan's a body, all right? The rest of us are people, all right? But Dan's a body. And I can see his head, his nice shiny head. So if you weren't laughing, I wouldn't pick on you. All right, but I do like to make people laugh. So as we consider what's going on here, our physical bodies have many parts, and Paul explains that the same is true for the church. But notice, as we look at verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, he's going to say this over and over again. He's trying to make a point. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body. Got it, Paul, but he's going to say it three more times. All right, but he says, so also is Christ. Now, we would think that he's using this terminology of the body of Christ, we would think he's going to be talking about the church. But instead, he brings the title, which we would also call the name of Christ, into our thoughts. And it should cause us to consider that for a moment. All right? What does he mean that so also is Christ? Well, the church is the body of Christ. That's verse 27. That's why I brought you there from the very beginning. In verse 27, he says very clearly that now you are the body of Christ. Up until that point, he's just talking about body and parts. But we know that he is bringing us to this idea that we are the body of Christ. And this body of Christ that we are all part of, the Holy Spirit is the common denominator of all those who are in the body. I'll say it again. If you've never come to a faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, if you've never recognized him as God and that he died for your sins, you are not part of the body. You may be part of our gathering today, whether it's in person or online, but you're not part of the body, because the truth of the body is the Holy Spirit is present in every part of the body, every member, not church member. We're not talking about membership in a church on this one. We're just talking about all the parts. The word is actually parts, right? And so we're talking about all the parts of the body all have one thing that's in common, and that is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not in a right relationship with God. When we come to faith, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. That is that common denominator we've talked about. He says, listen, for the body is one, it's many members, it's one body, so also is Christ. For by one, verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. All right, so we can pick on Paul. I'm going to get past this verse and we'll go a whole lot easier. It's like, Paul, you're saying a lot of the same words, but they are to make a point. For by one Spirit, we've already talked about the Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized, past tense, into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been able to drink into one Spirit, for in fact, the body is not one, but many members. So when we come to faith, we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Not just one member of it, but our whole body. This indwelling is what makes our relationship within the church so wonderful. I'm glad that when I see any of you, whether it's out in the hallway or at the grocery store or wherever I run into you, and I love running into you multiple places, as soon as we see each other, there's a truth that should come to the forefront of our mind. That is a brother or sister in Christ. They are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. They are created in the image of God. They are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We can have fellowship of the saints. We can do all these things. Why? Because we're part of the same body. And as part of this body, there's two things that we're not concerned with. At least I hope you're not. We are not concerned with social status. When you came through the doors today, I'm hoping that no one here was thinking, oh, I hope I get to sit next to that rich guy or gal. Right? I'm hoping that I want to sit next to that really popular guy or gal. Right? Because if I hang around them, maybe it'll benefit me. See the selfishness included in that? We're also, when we walk through these doors, and I hope this is true as well, we are not worried about different ethnic backgrounds. That's not always true, by the way. I was attending a church where there was a missionary couple that were there. He was from Africa. He was African American, and she was Caucasian. They were married. They had wonderful kids. And there was an individual, I learned about this after the fact, someone shared it with me, that there was an individual, older gentleman, that had his bulletin in hand, right, and was just ringing the daylights out of it as he was talking up there. The assumption was, because the guy eventually got up and left, the assumption was that he was not happy about the inter-ethnic couple, right? One race, the human race. Ethnicities, right? We're good with that, right? Different ethnicities, right? So he did not like the fact that there was an African-American man and a Caucasian woman that were married, and they were both up at the platform, and they're serving the Lord today, and it's a beautiful thing. But he didn't like that. Now, he wasn't a member of our church. But I will say this. When we think about the harmonious relationship that's supposed to exist within the church, we can't be worried about social status or about ethnic backgrounds. That's what Paul says in verse 13. He says, for one by one Spirit, we're all baptized. We've all been immersed in the Holy Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks. There's the ethnicity. Whether slaves or free, there's the social status. He's saying, listen, that none of that matters in the church. At least it shouldn't. He says, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. As I understand the text, he's basically saying the same thing. It's parallelism within the original language here, that being baptized by one spirit and drinking the one spirit is just two ways of saying the same thing. We are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. It is a reality for every believer. This is true of every single believer. And Paul brings it home that way. So Paul identified a problem within the Corinthian church, and what he was addressing is that they had an unhealthy practice of what I'm calling devaluing. All right, I'll explain where that comes from in just a minute, but this idea of devaluing, there's a devaluing process that comes, that can sometimes take place in different churches between the body parts. And Paul's going to flesh this out for us clearly, and he says, when this devaluing takes place in your congregation, Corinthians, you are unhealthy, and we need to get health. So as a way of illustrating this, and bear with me, all right? I think it went all right in the first service. We'll see. But as an illustration, I am going to be your illustration today, all right? Here we go. This is my body. Let me tell you about this body for a minute, okay? So I have really high arches. Anybody else have high arches? All right? High arches are painful. All right? I'm going to label my body parts for you this morning and just let you know that these arches, they really hurt sometimes. All right? They don't always work the greatest. I've jumped out of airplanes. Many of you know that. My knees, not so good. All right? Not so good. My knees they don't hurt all the time, but if I twist just the wrong way, I'll whine and cry. All right? The fact is, I must have usually landed on my left side as you do your parachute landing fall, because when you fall on the ground, whoa, all right? That's another problem. I have a bad left hip every once in a while. You're thinking, who did we hire? Okay? The reality is, you hired an idiot, because last year I fell at the Merrimack dump as I was putting some debris over the edge. My foot slipped and I hit the concrete wall with my elbow, and it still hurts today, right? I got to get that checked out at some point, right? Right? I know. She's tired of hearing me whine about that one. The reality is that through a series of events, I'm going to eventually probably need surgery on my left shoulder, right? I have to behave myself because I tore a part of my shoulder. The other thing is, I don't know how this is going to, this one's not going to stick very long enough, but let's use this one, all right? Let's say, I've had a number of concussions, all right? So, anybody else have a concussion? I'm going to give you one in a minute. No, but anybody else have, oh, we got a few of you? Yeah, look at this. Here, let's just, I brought tape with me. Would you like to give me another piece of tape? Because this doesn't work well. And I grabbed the last two. Thank you. And one more. No, that's all right. I'll just split this one in half. All right. So I've had concussions, right? And a concussion is something that's long-term. You don't necessarily want to continue having those if you can avoid it. But I have those from landing. When you jump out of an airplane, it's kind of fun. Landing is not, okay? So I have multiple, believe it or not, that stayed there the whole first service, okay? And then my last one is something that many of you identify with. We cannot forget male pattern baldness, okay? All right? So, and as I look there, I'm actually forgetting, but I had one for, and I lost one somewhere, because I also have kidney stones, and I also have a bad back. So now you know the body, okay? And there should be a couple back there, but I don't know where they went. All right? I'm a mess. But let's just consider that as a, let's just put that on my glasses. How's that? That'll be better. All right? That'll be fun. All right. So with these sticky notes attached to my body, let's consider two ways that we as a church are in danger of causing disharmony. All right? So if my body, with all these indicators of different parts that hurt, can represent the church, we have to consider the danger of causing disharmony. And so let me phrase it this way. For the body of Christ to be healthy, which is our desire, each person must exercise their gifts in harmony with the whole. We've already said that. But notice this, harmony does not allow devaluing of yourself. Harmony does not allow the devaluing of self, specifically the gifts that you possess. Look at verse 15. As we look at it, it says, is it, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? So since every Christian has been given a gift or gifts, then we should be thankful for the gift or gifts. Are you thankful this morning for how God has equipped you to serve within the body of Christ? Some of you are going to say, yes, praise God. I am so thankful how God has gifted me. It's so exciting to know that I'm able to reflect the Trinity in the way I live in my relationship with one another, with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But some of you are saying, I don't know. What's my gift? And we talked about that. We'll talk about that more in the coming weeks. But listen, you got to be involved in the body if you kind of want to know how God has gifted you. He has gifted you so that you can benefit the body. And he's saying, listen, every Christian has been given gifts, and therefore we should be thankful for the gifts we've been given. But our flesh gets in the way, and sometimes we become envious of other people's gifts. That's what he's talking about here. We should not become envious of the gifts of other Christians. Just because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body. You know, if a foot were to say that, you'd be like, that's ridiculous. If my foot could speak, and actually, by the way, I also have tendonitis. I forgot, all right? Anybody ever else have fingers that just lock up on you, all right? I really am a hot mess, all right? And yet, I consider myself in good health, all right? And I'm not on any medications yet, all right? So, but as you consider this, if the foot were to say, I'm not of the body, that's ridiculous. If the ear were to say, I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. The reality is when we lose focus of what God desires in our life by gifting us the way he did, we are capable of coming up with the wrong conclusion. We are devaluing our gifting. We are devaluing the gifter. And so we have to be careful with this idea of somehow we lose focus. The wrong conclusion is that somehow my gift or gifts are not good enough to be considered a necessary part of the body, but that's exactly what Paul says we are. He says, that's the next point. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So that's the wrong conclusion. And so Paul's point is found really in verse 19. If they were all one member, where would the body be? So I shared this illustration. How many of you have ever seen the movie Doctor Strange? Raise them high, you Marvel fans. How many of you have never seen that movie? Okay. I get it, right? I've actually stopped watching most Marvel movies unless I've got some filters in place because there's certain things they do that bug me. But I will tell you, the one thing that bugs me out of Doctor Strange is there is a scene. It is a creepy, creepy scene where he's having this almost hallucination type thing and he's looking at his hand and his hand becomes more hands and more hands and more hands. Am I accurate in that? Isn't that one of the scenes? It bothers me. It actually turns my stomach. Here is this hand that just turns into like hundreds and thousands of hands. That's the way the church would look like if we were all hands. It would be grotesque. It would mess with our minds. Because a body is made up of all parts. We've established that. That's the way God created the church. If we were all hands, right, it would be it would not be a healthy thing to view. And that's what he's saying. It's ridiculous. Yeah, they'll fall off, and that's okay, all right? It's a ridiculous thing. It's absurd to think that you are not a member of the body just because you've not been given the gift that someone else has been given. We need to appreciate the gifts that we have been given. I misspoke, by the way, and let me clarify that. I misspoke last week. There are a different perspectives on gifts in terms of, you know, the better gifts or not as better gifts, because Paul uses that terminology, a brother in Christ, lovingly. And I do appreciate this, because I was like, oh, that's not what I meant to say. All right. Not all gifts are the same. Not all gifts have the same expression, but all possessors of the gifts have the same importance. We are all the same. God loves each one of us. He doesn't love one more than another. If he's given more gifts to someone else, or a gift that you desire but you don't possess, it's not because God doesn't love you. It's because God has purposes for you, and what his purpose is going to be lived out if you are obedient based upon the gifting he has given. So without all the parts, there is no body. That's what he's saying. So we need the parts. Stop devaluing you being a part by the fact that you only have one gift, or you like the gift of somebody else. But let's consider a second way the church is in danger of causing disharmony, and that is for the body of Christ to be healthy, the whole, that's all of us, must allow each person to exercise their gift or gifts, which produces the harmony. And this is, I think, where I don't know Merrimack Valley well enough in terms of all your lives and all your perspectives to know this, but I know human nature, and I know we are prone to devalue ourselves, all right, and say that somehow we're not important. But we're also somehow capable, because we're human, to value ourselves too much, which by diminishing others. Harmony does not allow devaluing of ourselves, but it also does not devalue others. And that's starting in verse 20. It says, but now indeed there are many members. Notice what they're saying. Yet one body. He said it again. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That would be ludicrous. Again, Paul is just calling them out. Your practice, Corinthians, is reminding me of this body, this unhealthy body. And you're saying that parts are not necessary. I'm a body full of damaged, injured parts, but I don't want to lose a single one of them. I value my feet. I value my knees. The one part that gets all my attention and impacts the body more than anything else is my kidney stones. When a kidney stone kicks in, when you have a kidney stone attack, look out. You need drugs. Okay? I went through two that I didn't, and then I had a real attack. And I walked in the emergency room, and I'm just hunched over like this. I can barely walk. I'm just standing there. And they saw what was going on. They didn't ask me any questions. They just took me to the back. They hooked me up to an IV. They gave me the drugs. 10 minutes later, I was feeling okay. Then they said, how you feeling? And I said, well, I'm better. And then it continued on for, I think, 3 days after that. That was a genuine attack that I never want to experience again. But technology has informed us that there are many more in there, so hopefully they will stay put. But no, when we consider this devaluing of others, we can't say that there's a body part within our body that's not necessary. We are all necessary. But we all have different perspectives. So this idea that harmony does not allow devaluing of others, Paul was identifying the Corinthian church that there were those that were basically, maybe not with voice, but maybe with more with actions, I have no need of you. Verse 22, he says, no, much rather those members of the body which, notice the terminology, which seem to be weaker. And then in verse 23, he says that we think to be less honorable. We do this assessment of the body parts, and these body parts are people. And we're looking at people, and somehow we say, they're not profitable for our gathering. And what we might be saying is that I am more profitable for the gathering. I bring more to the table than those around me. I am important. I have no need of you, feet. I have no need of you, head, whoever's doing the speaking. He says, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker, notice the next two words, are necessary. Perspective is a person's reality, but it's not always reality. Reality is God's reality, and God says that you and your gifting, you matter, you're necessary for the church. And if you are choosing to not exercise your gifts within the body of this church, then you are hindering the health of our body. He goes on to say, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. Now, to get into Paul's mind completely is impossible, but I did read one place where there was thinking that maybe he's talking about the hands and how the hands aren't necessarily unseemly, but we do put rings and ornamentation on them. There's no exact clarity as to what's being spoken of there in terms of what body parts are less honorable. Paul is just making a point that we treat people less honorable when we should not. The next part actually makes very good sense. On these we bestow greater honor. And he says, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So we have this reality that there are unpresentable parts, and we bring modesty to bear on them. And we should be thankful for that. That is part of God's creation. It's part of God's created order. But he's saying, listen, what's true physically, let's consider how this goes spiritually. God, it's not so much that there are unpresentable parts. Again, the wrong conclusion. Well, I must be one of the unpresentable parts. No, he's saying, listen, no matter what your part is, God brings honor to it. Because he has gifted you, because you are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You are not insignificant. You are significant. You're created in the image of God. You've been blessed with, you've been indwelled with the Holy Spirit. You have gifts that you have been given to exercise. It is all good. Stop devaluing yourself. Stop devaluing others. The reality is you are all necessary. All parts have honor attributed to them. But what we're missing is a vital part of our understanding about how a church was created. We might think that we have so many differences within the church, and I've identified a few, and they're not secrets. We have people that have differences over Bible versions, differences over worship music, differences over how one is to dress when they're in front of the church. We have differences over how the church is supposed to be run or not run. We have all kinds of differences. And at one level, those differences are fine. They're completely normal. Differences cannot turn into divisions. And he says the body of Christ is supposed to be unity with diversity. That diversity brings differences. But it needs to be a body that is healthy and in harmony, not in disharmony. Differences are okay, divisions are not. So the one thing that we have to understand, and I think this is where Paul, he's made it clear in 24, the second part of 24 through the end of the chapter, through 27. But he also brought it up in 18, and that is, for the body of Christ to be harmoniously healthy, the creation of harmony is the sole responsibility of the giver of gifts. We think that we have to bring harmony. No. We don't have to bring harmony. No, I have to bring harmony. I have to get everybody to think the same way I think. Then we'll have harmony. No. You will have differences and you will have division. And so the purpose is not for us to create harmony. For us, it's to allow the Holy Spirit to express harmony as he works through each one of us. Verse 18, if you remember what he said there, he said, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. In verse 24, it says, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Excuse me. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, Corinthians, and members individually. So God has composed the body. God has given honor to the parts. Hurting parts are still parts. Right? He says when one part suffers, they all suffer. Just to take this off, because this one's bugging me the most, right? When we consider all the parts suffering, when I had my concussions, it was humorous. But it was also dangerous and unhealthy. I repeated myself a lot, and Christine loves to remind me of that. All right? We'll just forget this one because there's nothing I can do about it. All right? But listen, as we consider, all these things representing broken parts, all the parts are necessary. That's the one I forgot earlier, is these differences are okay. God desires that there be no division in the church. And so we need to take these body parts, and if they're suffering, it says there, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Well, the reality is, I can tell you, if I can find all my stickies, I can tell you what body part hurts from one day to another. What I can't do is tell you when you're hurting. I might be able to see it on your face. If we have communication, you might share it with me. As I was in Walmart yesterday, Christine and I were picking up some stuff, and a lady within the church called, and she said, "This is my way of explaining the phone call. Hey, Pastor Greg, I'm a part of parts. I'm a part of the whole, and I recognize there's another part that's hurting. And I was wondering, as one part caring for another part, is there anything I can do?" And I said, "Yes. You can actually get involved in these parts over here because they have a ministry that they provide meals for people. And if you as a part want to help the other part, get involved with these parts, and then the whole will be edified and built up." That's the conversation we just had yesterday. "Pastor, I know someone's hurting and I'm aware of it. I feel I need to do something. I'm feeling that God would have me to do something." I put them in touch with the person that can help them serve the body. Because I don't know all the parts that are hurting. But if you're hurting, we're hurting. If there's something going on in your life. Now, again, in the context of spiritual gifts, can I say this? You may be at odds with how to figure out how to exercise your gifts within our body. And I would like to help you figure that out. All right? But I don't know unless you tell me. Or tell one of the other pastors, or tell somebody, and let's start working on these things. Because we as people are supposed to suffer when everybody suffers. Because there's no dispensable part. We don't devalue anyone here, or in any church for that matter. And if one member is honored, all members are to rejoice with it. Praise God when we can highlight those things that are accomplishments within our church. We often do that with our kids, you know, when they do graduations, whether kindergarten or high school, and they have awards and honors, and we rejoice with that stuff, right? Well, the same thing with the gifting, right? So we can point people out and say, "Thank you for your gifts. It is a beautiful thing that you are doing, being obedient to the will of God and exercising your gifts within the church." God desires that the different parts take care of one another, and this care should cause suffering to be shared. And the reality is, when I'm acutely aware of my need of a body part, it's when it's in pain. So we tend to see that more often, but listen, if you are ever in pain and no one notices, you're going to leave that church, right? You're going to leave that body because it's not caring for you. But if we don't know of the need, we can't help. So as we conclude, the care that we are supposed to give one another is supposed to be a genuine care. Because as we talked about, the big idea for the day is that God desires the church to live in a harmonious health. Not just a healthy church. Yeah, we're a healthy church. We do this, we do this, we do this, we do this. Yeah, we're a church like so many other churches. We're healthy. Are your parts exercising the spiritual gifts? Are other parts hindering them? Because that's really where you start to see the health or lack of health. Are we in living in harmonious health? So I'll just conclude with this three-part description. If we are devaluing a particular gift, we are devaluing the possessor of that gift. If you have a gift and you feel it's being devalued, don't you feel a lack of self-worth? Don't you feel offended at some level? You are struggling to maybe understand your role. So if we are devaluing a gift, which next devalues the giver, the possessor of the gift, we ultimately devalue the giver of the gift. We're basically saying, "God, you messed up. I was supposed to get that gift. You gave me this gift." And you're basically saying, "God, I know better than you." And that is not true. And you know that to be true. So let's live as a body. As Paul is, he started off and he ends the same way. "For as the body is one and has many members," right? We are one body and we have many parts. Members, again, this is not about membership. But when you get 27, you are the body of Christ. We have this privilege to be the expression, the reflection of the Trinity, of attributes of the Trinity. This is something that we have been given, and it's something we are supposed to rejoice in, and it's supposed to be something that we do on purpose. We're supposed to do it with intentionality. And so let's not be the devaluers. Let's be the valuers, right? Let's value one another. Find a way this week to value somebody else in the church body. Find a way to express to them how you see, how you've seen Christ in them, how you've seen their gifting lived out. All right? Just try to do that. And if you don't receive notification of that today, pray that God would make himself known to you by being used within the body of Christ. And when we see it happen, call it out. Praise God for her gift. Praise God for his gift. Let's all be focused on living with harmonious health, right? Let's enjoy the differences and have unity at the same time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. I thank you, Father, that we are able to live in a way that honors you, but it's not through our own strength we're able to do that. It's only through the whole presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We thank you for the giving of gifts. We thank you for the challenge that it is to appreciate the gifts of others. But Lord, help us to just have a right view of ourselves. Help us to have a right view of others. And then Lord, while we grow in our ability to exercise gifts appropriately, would you please honor yourself? Would you please bring glory to yourself? Would you help us to know that by living obediently, we are pleasing you? And Father, when we see our brothers and sisters in Christ living honorably, honoring you, Lord, that we can encourage them and Lord, that we could just have this expression of the church in this community that says we are different because of Christ in us. Father, may you be glorified as your children and only your children have been given the opportunity to reflect your attributes. Father, I pray that you would do a mighty work through us. Lord, may we be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.